الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منزل الخلق العدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطال من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العطاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, our Shaykh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid, the reviver of deen of our era, and the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah, used to say that before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnah can become alive again in the ummah. And with regard to the importance of sunnahs, there are very many points. The Quran Sharif itself says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, announce and say to the people that if you love Allah Ta'ala, or if you want to develop and cultivate the love of Allah Ta'ala, and that it should be a natural thing, the love of Allah Ta'ala. Al-insanu abdul ihsan. A human being is the slave of the one who shows favors upon you. You have a dog, it gets a piece of bread from your dog, that dog remains loyal to that dog. A person who feeds his dog, the dog runs after him wherever he goes. The dog will run errands for him also if he's trained. If an animal can do that, and we got everything from Allah Ta'ala, but how loyal, how faithful are we to Allah Ta'ala? We don't even, a dog sits also and waits, looks at the master for the instructions. What must I do now? It obeys the instructions. We don't ask of Allah, what must I be doing now? How should I, a certain situation comes, how should I reply to the situation? Our attention should go to Allah Ta'ala. And what Allah does, Allah is our creator. Allah, yes, mashallah, Maulana read so well in the Isha Namaz, and so beautiful the subject matter also is Maulana read. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn. Have we not made the two eyes for insan? And without our eyes, forget not eyes, we just have a defect in our eyes. What a big problem. Allah gave us proper two eyes that we are using our whole life. And Allah gave us free of charge the two eyes. With the eyes, if we just consider also, we see the sun. The sun is how many times more bigger than the earth? But the whole sun fits into our eye. We see huge mountains. We see the huge sea. We see what then, what things with the eyes. The eye is so small. And it is not the eye that looks. The eye is 1 centimeter square roughly. But if the thing that looks is the pupa, the black pupa, which is in the middle of the eye. Some people we say got blue eyes, somebody got green eyes, somebody got grey eyes, all different color eyes, brown eyes, black eyes. But what sees is not that color, it is in the middle, and everyone's is black. The pupa, the middle part, the central focal point of the eye is black, everyone. Whether you got green eyes, we say, whether you got blue eyes, but that is black. And in black is darkness. You can't see in black. But Allah's Qudrat, in blackness He kept light. And you can see. What is the Qudrat? And that whole big mountain. Mount Kilimanjaro. Mount Everest, you see with your eye. But if one small speck of that mountain, a little bit of that sand come in your eye, you can't see anything. With the eye, you see the whole mountain. But one small part of that mountain comes in your eyes, you can't see anything. And with our eyes, I'm sitting here, Alhamdulillah, I also got two eyes. I can see all of you. You all are seeing me also. But if we ever think of it, the eyes which are so close, they never have seen one another. If you look in a mirror, it's different. But like that on your own, one eye, till today, just a small bridge here in between. One eye is in the other eye. What is the foot of أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا. And Allah made a tongue for you. We have to think, with our speech, if we were dumb, how should we have been? Allah gave us speech, and free of charge Allah gave us speech. And then again, the tongue is not only for talking. The tongue is for tasting also. You taste sweet things, you taste sour things, you taste bitter things, you taste hot things, you taste cold things, and everything, how it should be, you enjoy. A thing that is supposed to be hot cup of tea, you enjoy. If the tea is cold, you get cross on the wife. Hey, what is cold tea? I don't want it. You make it hot. And if the juice is from hot, you push it away. Bring cold juice. Put ice in it. And all that one time. What if Allah, like many machines which men have made, then the cutters, the dies of it, is all different. You have to make mince, you put a different blade in. You want to make this, you put a different, if Allah made for everything different tongue. To taste sweet, different tongue. To taste sour, different tongue. To taste hot, different tongue. We should have, all of us, wherever we go, should have to walk with a whole bag of tongues. And every time we eat, change the tongue. Now I'm going to eat hot, now I'm going to eat sour, now I'm going to eat salty, now I'm going to eat sweet. Change the tongue. And then to look after the tongues, it will be in the kitchen. Shouldn't be just an ordinary leather bag, a cloth bag. It should be so much scientifically, it should have to be adjusted to a certain temperature, it doesn't get dry. After what? What is the Qudrat of Allah? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. And he gave him his two lips also. What a great mandate also. And all this, as in this surah, which MashaAllah Maulana also read in the second rakat. That all this Allah Ta'ala has made it so balanced. If the two eyes were there, we got two eyes. But if the one was like the eye of a needle, small little one, and the other eye was a big compass, how should we know? Allah made them balance. The two eyes are the same. Color is the same. Size is the same. Allah Ta'ala made our two ears the same. If one ear was like a pumpkin, small pumpkin, and the other ear was like the ear of an elephant, big fan, how it should look? If our legs, one leg was 1 meter, 100 centimeters, 1 meter, and the other leg was 1 foot, 12 inches, and we should hop and walk, and how should we all look, all coming hopping and walking? Allah balanced us. And Allah balanced our outward features also. Allah balanced our inward features also. Your sugar level has to be at a balance. If it's too low, you're a sick person. If it's too high, you're a sick person. Your blood pressure has to be balanced. If it's too high, you can get a stroke, you can get heart attack. If it's too low, you can faint, you can just pass out, because it's too low. Your cholesterol, your kidney functioning, your heart functioning, your liver functioning, everything has to be balanced. Then more deeper inside, our inner qualities also must be balanced. You must not only have love all the time, even the person who is doing wrong to Islam, you love him also. The person who comes and takes your wife away, you love him also. So love must also be balanced. Hatred Mas'ud, and how beautifully Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ فَوْنَمَّا. Love your beloved and in a limit. Don't overdo it. وَبْحُلْ أَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ بَغِيبَكَ يَوْمَمَّا. It's possible he'll become your enemy tomorrow. Today your clothes are spread and you disclose all your secrets tomorrow to him. Tomorrow he's your enemy. And he knows all your secrets, he's going to harm you so much. وَبْحُبْ بَغِيْذَكَ حَوْنَمَّا. And hate your enemy also in a limit, in a balance. أَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمَمَّا. It's possible one day he becomes your friend. Then you'll be so sorry, what I did to him. I tried and harming him this way. I tried and harming him this way. Now you'll be sorry about it. So the balance in everything in our quality is also complete balance. This is what is required. And a person who is a balanced person is a perfect person. A person whose sugar is too high is not a perfect person. A person whose blood level is too blood pressure is too low is not. So in our qualities also, the balance of Islam. So much so, there were those Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who made it known. It was the talk carried on with the Sahaba that one said, I'm going to divorce my wife, I'm just going to make a nasi ibadah. Another one said, I'm going to keep every day rosas. I'm just going to keep rosas one year. Another one said, I'm not going to sleep at night, I'm just going to make ibadah. All, it's not a balanced man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to hear of me, called them, and he said, how much I fear Allah, you don't fear Allah. How much I know Allah in Akhirat, you don't know Allah in Akhirat. I marry also, I have wives also, and I fulfill their rights also, and I fulfill Allah's rights also. I sleep also, and I make ibadah also. I eat also some days, and I keep good balance. A balanced life, a person is a perfect person. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala has announced that if you want the love of Allah Ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my footsteps. In that way you will get the love of Allah. And that is the proof, the sign of the proof of the love of Allah is that you follow sunnahs. Allah has made that the criteria. If you want to prove that you have the love of Allah, how much you are following sunnahs, that is the proof that you have got the love of Allah Ta'ala. And in return, again, Allah says, يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. And if you get the love of Allah, if you mera, to har shay meri, zameen meri, palak mera. If you are mine, O Allah, everything is mine. The lands are mine. The skies are mine. If you nahi mera, to koi shay meri. If you are not mine, nothing is mine. So to get the love of Allah, the easiest way is to follow the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah loved the sunnahs so much that Allah declared, whoever will follow the sunnahs, I will love that person. And you get the love of Allah. A wife that has got the love of her husband, does everything, goes out of his way. Parents who love their children, what and what? Allah, Allah, what can a husband do? What can parents do? Allah. There is no limit to the resources of Allah. There is no limit to the kindness and the benevolence of Allah Ta'ala. If you get His love, what won't Allah Ta'ala do for you? Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, Rahmatullah Ali, gives this beautiful example which our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, narrated many times to us. That so to say, the thorns planted under the rose complained to Allah Ta'ala. That Ya Allah, you made us thorns. And nobody wants thorns in his garden. So when the gardener will come, the person who works in the garden, cleans the garden, garden servant, we are thorns. They're going to take us and throw us out of the garden because nobody likes thorns. So to say, Allah Ta'ala told my thorns, I made you thorns. You don't worry. Nobody will throw you out. All you do is stay under my roses. As long as you're under my rose, you've got the value of the rose. If a person buys a rose for $2, $3, whatever price a rose might cost, you are buying the thorns rose. Without the thorns, the rose won't remain a rose. The petals will fall apart. And so you are buying the thorns at the price of the rose because they are under the rose. If a person, a lover, gives his beloved a rose, he gives the thorns also. The thorns have got the value because of the rose. The rose, the petals of the rose, how soft they are. How enjoyable to touch them. The colors are so beautiful. The fragrance is so beautiful. But they won't remain until the thorns are under. So we are also thorns. And the sunnahs, as long as we remain under the sunnahs, our value will be the value of sunnahs. And this was not long when the ummah was following sunnahs. Roughly about 100 years ago, though weakness had come in, but by and large, we had the Khilafat of Uthmani, the Ottoman Empire. And they saw to the needs of Muslims in any part of the world. We were following sunnahs. And Allah looked after us at the price of sunnahs. Now today when we have separated ourselves and we from the roads, we are like those thorns. Thorns are thrown out on the street. The animals, dogs urinate on it. People walk and trample on it. Today when we have separated ourselves from stones, from the sunnahs, the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they trample upon us. They murder our people. They rape our women. And there isn't one person to raise a voice of. And so much so we have become weak. Ask ourselves sincerely, we know what is happening in the world to the Muslims. Is there anyone who sincerely even pick up his hands and make dua? We are so broken from the ummah. This ummah, Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that for example, if there were 1,000 people in Medina in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's just an example. 999 were all worried of the 1,000 person. And one person was worried of all 999. Today Iraq's problem is their problem. Syria's problem is their problem. Afghanistan's problem is their problem. As long as we are getting our meats, we are enjoying, we got our cars, we got our houses. Who of us forget making a little bit more effort to make one gesh? To speak to somebody about deen, to go and explain to somebody is doing wrong, your own daughter, your own wife, you can't speak also. You can't tell her also. That feeling is gone out of us because we have separated ourselves from the sunnah. We are like a dead nation. Whereas this nation was that nation that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sleeping in the courtyard, the sand of Masjid Nabawi, without no covering, just a stone, a brick as his pillow. And he takes a turn, and the urine should go out of the rulers and the emperors of Rome and Persia. They should make number 2 in their trousers when Umar radiallahu anhu should take a turn. But today, where, what are we? Nobody, we don't even know the first squeak from our side. And even if we do, we know who is going to hear. We are nothing to hear. The reason for that is we have left out sunnahs in our life. We regard sunnah as it's sunnah. One person went to a great buzurg in Bhopal, and in one discussion, he said, "Ye to barhal sunnah hai." Like a derogatory, it's not important, it's sunnah. That buzurg told him, "Yaqeenan ye sirf sunnah hai. Lekin tumhara lehja jo hai wo kufar." That you deride that sunnah is not important. Hey, sunnah, what is it? That it's not important. Now to be Allah, which Allah says that Allah make a criteria for his life. Anyway, one sunnah, which I will discuss tonight, it comes in the hadith study, that a person when he steps out of his house in the morning, and he reads the three simple du'as which we all know also. What are those three du'as? Bismillah. Which Muslim doesn't know Bismillah? Tawakkal to Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We all know those words. A person who reads that dua, Allah appoints an angel immediately by him who gives in return, he gives him 3 duas. You make 3 duas, the farishta, the angel gives you 3 duas. The first dua, he gives you wuqita. You got your protection and security for him. Today, everyone, the first thing in any agenda is security. Is it safe? How are things? Security-wise, house things. The first thing, the farishta, we tried a lot of security measures. As much as we have tried, crime is just on the increase in the world. With so much surveillance cameras and so much of security gates and booms and what, but crime has not decreased at all. Crime is on the increase. We haven't tried the Nabawi security system. The way of the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You should read this dua and the farishta, the angel give you this dua whose dua is on the stajah. 100% accepted, you got your security for the day. The second dua, the farishta give you, go feed, your needs for the day will be fulfilled. A person leaves his house because of his needs. He goes to shop to earn. He goes to job to earn. I have to do this job. I have to do that job. Otherwise, why must you leave your home? You stay at home because of your need. And our needs are just not getting fulfilled. Our needs are increasing all the time. So if we get the dua of the Farishta, your needs will be fulfilled. And a person who is now content, my needs are fulfilled. How happy? For example, you went out from home, you had the rest, I must do all these things. Whole day, 6 o'clock I will return. So much work I got to do. But your work got finished in 2 hours. 10 o'clock you are back home. Wife asks, what come? How come? And the work is done, everything. With the Farishta, you get the dua of the Farishta, your work becomes so easy. Today we are earning from Monday to Monday. We are earning from morning till night. We are earning for 50 years, 60 years. We are old people. We are still earning. Our needs are still not satisfied. If the Farishta gives you your dua, your needs will be satisfied. We earning so much, we've got no time to enjoy the money. No time to relax also. We were here in Katima, in Namibia, and one brother is opening a musalla in a location. So he took us to make dua. So there when I saw, and this we had seen many times, but it struck me. We saw that in the location, it was about 11 o'clock in the day, and all the people are sitting around under the tree, casually they are sitting. Ease, comfort. And if you go to the city, 11 o'clock, nobody got time for it. There they are sitting, talking, having tea, drinking water, casually they are. And we worked the whole year to save to go for a holiday. 1 week in the year we go for a holiday, 10 o'clock they have breakfast, we sit outside under the tree. They sit every day under the tree. They don't have to work the whole year to go. The whole year they are sitting under the tree. We work the whole year to save up to go 1 week somewhere holiday, to go and stay in a hut. They stay the whole year in a hut. We now and then have a cry, and then it's a big occasion we got to. They make you cry every day. We now and then occasion we cook a poultry course in that aluminium pot with some nice. And one person made dawat, the man himself cooked. He was so happy, like in a small pot for the people we cook. They cooking every day like that. Their life, they got no optician in their location. They don't need optician. You don't see one person with glasses. Their eyes are perfect. They got no orthodontist in the location. They don't need. Their food and their hygiene of the mouth is that you see shining white teeth. Middle of the night also you see the teeth shining white. And we have got all this, and what? Our children, almost every second child you see with braces. And what are braces? They are like burglar guards. Crime has gone so much, it will stick your teeth also. They have to put burglar guards for the teeth also. All this type of life. If we get the dua of the Farishta, Kufita, your protection. Kufita, your needs have been seen to. And not that they will be seen to, they have been seen to already. And the third dua is the most important the Farishta gives. Hudita, your hidayat for the day has been done. It comes in the hadith, and perhaps we are living in those times, that a person will wake up in the morning and say, mu'min, by night his iman will have been gone. At night he will be a mu'min, by the morning his iman will have been gone. Hey, we might be at home in the whole night. We didn't go to disco, we didn't go to some brothel, but today they brought the disco and the brothel in the palm of your hand. Hey, you go on the laptop, you go on the iPad, you go on the phone. And a person loses his iman in the process. Today with our children going to schools, universities, what? Darwin's theory of evolution is taught in pre-primary school, which is kufr, that man was a monkey first. And then he became a human being, whereas Allah Ta'ala says, I myself created insan. And I created insan in the best of forms. To believe today, once we were in Argentina, Buenos Aires, and after Asr we were sitting, it was a long time, and there were just a few brothers. One brother, we started talking, what are you doing? I'm at university. What are you studying? History. Okay, you study history. What's the history of man? Muslim man. Grown up about 20, 22 years roughly. What's the history of man? He thought a little while, he said man was a monkey. And then that is his belief. And if that is your belief, you make 5 times namaz. Your namazes are not accepted. You've got kufr. Your rozas are not accepted. Your hajj is not accepted. Then I asked him again a little bit, history of mankind. He thought a little bit. He said, the big bang theory. Hey, this glass here, if I have to drop it here, there's carpet. Perhaps it will break, perhaps it won't break. But if I drop it on tiles, on concrete, it will break. And it will be a small bang. But by that bang, small bang, will the glass be made or will it break? They say a huge, big bang took place. And everything fell into place. Human being was made, and his eyes started functioning, his heart, his brain. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if somebody tells you in the jungle, there was a broken typewriter, not our keyboard of today, which is so light, you just tip, but the old keyboard which you have to actually jump on, and an old broken keyboard, and some monkeys jumped on it. And they presented the best of poetry in the world. The best of how can it happen? One big bang takes place and everything falls place into perfection. It's Allah's command. Allah's command. That is how great Allah is. By His command everything. But this is being taught to our children in the schools. We don't know where our schools, what our children are learning. They tell their name is Ahmad and Muhammad, Aisha and Khadija. But inside, what if they have been brainwashed from pre-primary level? Hey, and we are just happy. And today, what we call this, it's not Western education. It's not worldly education. It's secular education. And go and check up, go and Google, go to the encyclopedia. What is secular? Secular is everything which is minus Allah Ta'ala. In which Allah does plays no role, Allah doesn't exist. That is what is called secular. So all this education which they are giving, whether it's language, whether it's science, whether it's math, it is to prepare the brain of that child that there is no Allah. We are the rulers and controllers. The world is under our control. Just like what Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Fir'aun didn't mean that I'm Allah. He meant that I'm the government and I see to all your needs. I do everything, just as government says. We give employment, we give pension, we give housing, we see to this. No, this is totally secular. What it is, the reality, Allah alone is the doer of all. Allah uses the people, and we just saw the outside picture, and we think that this is what is happening. And our eyes are so weak, we don't see behind the scene the hand of Allah. Allah is the sole doer of everything. Everything, and that must be our yaqeen and our iman. Today, how many of us, perhaps even some of us sitting here, we say you must get a matrik. Without matrik, you can't get roses. And tell matrik who gave you roses. Tell matrik you want, you didn't have to worry of your breakfast. You didn't have to worry of your pants, your socks. Your parents, Allah arranged it all. When you got your matrik and you start earning, now you have to worry for your own trousers and your own shoes and your own things. Now you have to start working for it. Now you have to see to your wife, you have to see to your children. But tell matrik, Allah was seeing to everything. And who is the giver of rosy? Matrik certificate or Allah? Allah Ta'ala is the giver of rosy. Today our yaqeen has become that matrik, without matrik, and good people, learned people, my son, my daughter, she must go whether her izzat is taken, whether her beliefs get corrupted, but matrik must come, degrees must come. With degrees we are going to be successful. With all this dunya thing, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, listen to this malkuz very carefully in his time. Roughly about 70, 80 years ago, he said to remain a street sweeper is better than going to get this education where your iman is tainted or your iman is destroyed. If you just remain a street sweeper and you get jannah, is that more better? Or you get big degrees and you sit in big offices, but you go to jahannam. So think about it very carefully. These are serious matters. Anyway, so this sunnah, when we get up here, when we leave the house, read these three du'as. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is it easy or hard? Very easy. You don't even have to have it written to put there. You remember it? And you don't have to tell your wife that you must put a bucket of water by the door. I read du'a, my throat gets dry. By reading this du'a, your throat is not going to get dry. But in return, three du'as of the farishta, and what important du'as, which we cannot do without. This is sunnah. Just see how easy. And for that 100 shaheed sawab to revive the sunnah. Each one of us, ask ourselves when we step out of the house, do we ever leave this world? Even just bismillah we don't do. When we leave the house, we don't even make salam when we leave the house. We just walk out. Hey, that is like an animal. Hey, we are taught adab and life of Nabi Ali Sallam, Allah's consciousness, when you are leaving the house. So if you read this surah, 100 shaheed sawa, what great benefit, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. And when you practice on sunnahs, then go to Rauza Mubarak. And then say, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees that. That this my ummati who used to always follow my sunnahs. Today he has come like a father, his one son. He's got 5, 10, 15, 20 sons. And he sent them to different parts of the world to open business, do work. And the son would do work very well for his father. And he did a big earning. And he comes to the father, oh my son, your returns were coming every day, every week. Where you were depositing in the account big, big amounts. How happy won't be the father? And that son who never did anything, what capital the father gave him, he lost that capital also. And the father will be upset. So if we go with the capital of Iman and we groom, and we go to Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person ziyarat, and the person who doesn't, who haven't got a beard, who doesn't practice sunnah outwardly, no 5 times namaz in our life, and we go and read long, long salams, in fact Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is becoming more angry on you. That son who lost all the capital the father gave him. And he comes and he's talking sweet. The father feels like slapping him, kicking him. You, what all sweet talk you are making? You lost all my capital, you brought me down. But that son who brought up the business and he earned a lot, the father gets it. So let us practice on sunnahs, inshallah. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I have recited. The few ayats are the middle ayats of the surah Al-Shamsi wa Duha, and this like the whole of the Quran Sharif. And mashallah, as Maulana recited, I'd like to give Maulana jazaa khair. And let us appreciate how beautifully Maulana recited. And the subject matter really strikes you off the feet. Which in Maghrib, I think the Imam raised there about that وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنَ سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ. That the Quran Sharif, it will make mountains go into pieces. It will make the mountains fly in the air. Really the Quran Sharif, this is what we should devote ourselves to. And if you understand reasonably also, and you concentrate on your namaz, you will see Quran Sharif sort of shatters your heart. It buckles your feet. It strikes you off your feet. This is what Quran Sharif is. This is a great manner. So in here, this composition of Washamsi wa Duhaha is a build-up to the climax of the surah. The height of the surah, the theme of the surah. And then it comes down to the conclusion again. 3 main things in any essay and composition. The introduction and the build-up to the main subject you want to present. And this also is like the Quran Sharif says, about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that when the ant told that Sulaiman is coming with his army, he told all the ants, get into your holes. Then Sulaiman alayhi salam, فَتَبَسَّمَ بَاحِكًا, the Quran says. First he smiled, and then he burst out into a laughter. If a person now, if I have to say something, make a joke or anything, and somebody just suddenly burst out laughing, it's like a miracle. You go step by step, carefully. We eating also, we start with starters. We call it also starters. Yes, some savory, something. Then the main course. Then we again come down to the bottom with some dessert, with some tea. Slowly everything goes up and come. You want to exercise also. Don't just start exercising on a high level. You first warm up. Then you reach your height. Then don't just stop your exercises there also. Very unhealthy. Then you slow down and you come down again. If you go on a treatment by the doctor or ECG, stress ECG, he doesn't put you one shot onto the high level. He first slowly, slowly he brings you up, then slowly he brings you down again. So the Quran Sharif, all this is learned from the Quran Sharif. So yeah, in the surah, Allah Ta'ala, the height of the subject is وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا صَوَّاهَا. This nafs, this body of ours, and how balanced Allah is made. I explained at the beginning a few examples of how balanced this is. But this year, before that, Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam. A question arises here, first of all, why must Allah take qasam? Yeah, if I doubt somebody, I tell him take qasam. If you doubt me, you tell me take qasam, and the oath say what you want to say, then we believe you. Why must Allah? Allah is asdaqul qa'ilin, the most truest person of speech. Allah is haqqul mubeen, who makes the truth manifest and known to everyone. The reason why Allah Ta'ala takes qasam, ulama have written, like a father or mother explaining the young child brought his son, that they are getting in bad company, bad habits. And now the father, I tell you, my dear, loving little son, wallah, I say, though that company is not good for you. Those habits of yours will be destroyed. I have experience in that. May I ask you one simple thing? If there is somebody walking, going somewhere, and he comes to char rasta, crossroads, falls, through going this way, through going this way. Now he comes there, now he doesn't know the direction. Must I go straight? Must I go right? Must I go left? Now he's thinking, then he sees one person there at the bottom sitting, and he's fast asleep. And another person who's awake, sitting next to him. Now who must he ask the directions? The person who is awake or the person who is sleeping? See? The person who is awake also don't know. That's why he's waiting for the one who's sleeping. When he wakes up, he's going to ask him directions. Eh? So like that, the father, mother is telling the child, my beloved little child, you don't know. I'm gone 50 years in my life. 60 years, you're still 15 years old. You got no experience. You have just come to the crossroads. I know, I've seen the road in front, I've seen the road on this side. You listen to me, please. And he takes qasam. I tell you, because you love the child. You don't want the child to get into bad company, bad. Wallah, I tell you, please listen to me. So much love Allah has got, that yet the whole Quran, Mufassirin have written, the most qasams Allah has taken, whole Quran is filled with qasam. Yeah, but the most qasams at one place is in the surah, Washamsi wa Duha. And up to 15 qasams the ulama have counted Allah has taken it. Because why? The subject which Allah wants to explain here. Like you want to tell your son, you want to tell your daughter, what you want to tell, you build it up first, I'm taking qasam. I'm telling you, I got experience, I know. I have seen life, you haven't seen life. You don't know what is going, what is the future in life. Please listen to me. You are my heart, you are my jigar. I love you. You are in my heart. I want, please listen. Much more than that, Allah loves us. That Allah, how many qasams will we take? Allah took 15 qasams in one place. And what striking qasams also Allah Ta'ala took. The sun, washamsi, and wal qamar, the sun and the moon, two opposite things. Then the day and the night, two opposite things. Then the skies and the earth, two opposite. It's very interesting, but our whole time will go back to discuss what are the qasams which Allah has taken. But just to understand and let it suffice, that six opposing things, instead of two, three steps, Allah took these qasams. Then Allah brought it to one qasam which hasn't got a contrast to it. Wanafsi of the body. The body also, there are two. The ruh also, but Allah didn't take that. That this body, the whole thing, what is happening in the world, is having for his body. Yeah, in Harare, the whole of Zimbabwe, how many, in the business area, how many shops there are? For what are all those shops? A tire shop is also for the comfort of the body. The car, the tractors, the trucks, etc. must have good tires. For our needs can be served. Trucks can deliver our goods. Tractors can plow the land. Then there are shops there, for example, grocery shops. There are clothing shops. There are locksmiths. There is a plumber. There is a carpenter. There are contractors who build houses. All this is for this body. Okay? And for this body, the important thing after all this Allah is saying, it must be balanced. Don't only do your dunya. Balance it. See to your deen also. So all this Allah Ta'ala is explained. And then, of course, go to the university. How many departments there? Engineering department, medical department, agriculture department, what and what departments there are. And finally, today we hear our youngsters, they're studying this course. We never heard that word before. They're studying that course. They're studying that course. All this preparation. And for our soul, for the ruh, before I come on that, see if this body, Allah save us all, but you become so sick, you're in a coma, in the ICU intensive care unit, and you are still breathing, you got life in you, that means your ruh is inside. How many machines they put on you, ventilators and life supporting machines, and all the machines are showing their figures, they're going this way, that way. Nurses are running, making notes all the time, writing down what is happening. Doctors are coming, checking everything. Visitors are coming, they bring you food, you can't eat food, you're on the drip, you can't even go to the toilet, you've got a catheter, but you've got life, ruh is in you. Your soul is in you, all these things are happening. But as soon as the soul goes out, they unplug the machines. Now everything, no more writing down, nothing. Now they send you to the mortuary. Doctor comes, writes out a death certificate. Then you go to the mortuary. No more food for you, no more anything. Why? Because the soul. So what is more important, the body or the soul? The soul is more important. The body is just like, for example, we are going for Umrah. We go from here to Harare International Airport. We go by car. So what is important? The car is important or the passenger? The passenger. When we get to the airport, we leave the car. The people bring the car back. We take another transport. So maut is only just that this body, which was the transport, which was the vehicle to transport the ruh. Now at the time of maut, it's separate. Now you came, so to say, to the airport. Now the one, you leave the vehicle alone. This the people will handle here in dunya. They give ghusl, kafan, because respect Allah is kept. They make janazah namaz, they bury. But the ruh carry on with its journey. It goes where this name is written in Iyyin, the people of Jannah, or Sijjin, the people of Jahannam. Then Allah returns that ruh to the body again. For some people, the same body remains intact. Just now, lately, 3-4 weeks ago, one town in South Africa, Mzinto, we went, there was a janazah, we went to the Qabristan. Maulana there explained to me and he said, many qabars I saw, 2-3 people buried in the same qabar. And few qabars, he said, they opened after 20 years, after 30 years, body is still 100% intact. The qabar is 100% intact. So for those people who are righteous and pious, Allah keeps the same body, the ruh is put in the same body. And for other people, this body becomes the ants in kitab. It decays and rots in the body, but Allah puts another similar type, something similar to this body, and the ruh is put in there. Then whatever happens, happens on the ruh. And remember also, for example, if a person, Allah, save us all, and you become paralyzed, your arm is not working now. It's nothing. There's no life in it. You can't lift it. You can't make salam. You can't hold anything. All that happened is the ruh is gone out of it. Now on that arm you can hit it. You don't feel no pain. The ruh is gone out. As long as the ruh is there, that is the important thing. So in Harare, in Zimbabwe, in the whole world, for all the body, which is not the so important part, which we all admit to, how lot of intizam, everything what is happening, the cars that are moving, the aeroplanes that are moving, all the offices that there are, governments that are running, functioning, is all for this body. Have you got one institute, one shop, one hospital, one clinic for the ruh? And that is the most important, but that we are paying no attention to. So this is, so therefore Allah has taken 15 qasam to take us out of our slumber. That your body is not the important thing, your ruh is more important. وَنَفْسِيَ وَمَا سَوْفَاهَا. This body of yours, Allah Ta'ala said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We put in this body of yours, fujur, the desire of guna also, temptation of guna also has been put into us. وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the taqwa also Allah has put. Shayateen, the jinnat shayateen, they always are telling us to do evil. Our nafs ammara, ammaratun bisu, it commands us to do evil all the time. And shaitan invites us to do evil all the time. But Allah didn't leave us like orphans in this world that go suffer, die, that shaitan is going to destroy you. Allah has put malaika and they also put the desire of good in a person. Whenever a person wants to commit a guna, then think for yourself, you realize it happens to me also every interview. I want to commit this guna, I want to look at that woman, but then you feel, no, it's not right, it's haram. That malaika put that thought in. Now this battle carries on between the two. Whichever is going to overpower, is that if you made your taqwa greater, you'll save yourself from it. Fajr time, you woke up. How many women write also, we are eating fajr. We get up, we are awake, but we just don't get out of this. You know I must make fajr. I must get out of way. For men, we must go to masjid. Jamaat, we must make our fajr. But our nafs tells us, sleep, 5 minutes, snooze, put the watch on snooze. After 5 minutes, I will get up. Soon the whole namaz time is gone. So this pattern of good and bad takes place all the time. Once when I was in Germiston, in my previous place in South Africa, the mutawalli of our masjid, our madrasa, very good, pious person, we should get on also very well. He must have been about 50 years old at that time. So we were sitting amongst a few people, so he said, "Till today, I never got a traffic fine for speeding, seatbelt, parking, anything." We all were surprised, 50 years, you do something wrong. Everyone makes, you get a traffic fine, you for speeding, for this, that. We all were surprised. So he said, "I never drove a car." So if you don't drive a car, how are you going to get a speed? How are you going to get a fine? So in the same way, if we haven't got the ability to make guna, you can't become a wali, it's a masala. To call any angel, farishta, even Jibreel alayhi salam, a wali of Allah, is not for Muslim. Because the farishta can't commit guna. That person becomes a wali who's got the ability of committing guna, but he does not commit the guna. He saves himself from guna. That person becomes a wali. If, and our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, once told me, never ever even make the dua to Allah, because any dua can get accepted any time. Don't even make the dua that the desire of guna must go out of a person. If that happens and you don't have desire of guna, your progress reaching Allah also stops. Your progress to Allah is when you got the desire of guna, but you don't commit the guna. Just like your car, you buy the top of the range BMW, the series there, but it hasn't got an accelerator. How you do it? Now, if it must have an accelerator, but have your brakes also. And the more power the car got, have power brakes also. Have power steering also. The minute you see danger in the traffic has a, there's a car, there's a van, or anything like that, press your brakes. So, you see your wife from morning to night, whole night you can see her, from top to bottom. You can press your accelerator as much as you want, no problem. But the minute your eyes or the thoughts of another woman come, sharp brakes. And this was the quality of the Sahaba, especially Sayyidina Umar kana waqqatan min kitabillah. And whenever the commands of Allah, he should give sharp hands. Not one, but they should go. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Zulaikha is tempted. And he's a human being. But the Anbiya, Allah took out nafs, they have full control. Not, he put his sharp bricks, not one, but not one aota did he get any evil idea over the Zulaikha. So this is what we have to do. So Allah has given us both the things. Allah has given us the desire of guna which is within us. And a person who tries and says, "I got no desire of guna," either that person is lying or he's not a man. A butter that does not melt in front of fire is not butter. A man who does not melt in front of a woman is not a man, maybe some other species. Or maybe he's lying. But you have every person. And the test you can Allah Akbar. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, once they were travelling by bus in India. Those were very long when Hazrat was in India first. They were sitting on the back seat at one stage. Then an old Hindu man, 90 years old, was sitting on the front seat. And a young girl came and sat there near him. So he was gaping at her, not looking, gaping at her. Not with only with his eyes open, his mouth also wide open. And the conductor is shaking, "Kaka, tikat lelo." Kaka doesn't know what he's saying. Kaka is in a different world. I move him, shaking, "Kaka, tikat." Kaka is in a different world. So even if you become 90 years old, and you are more cold than a deep freeze, but still your desire of guna is still. Don't lie to yourself. And this is the ilaj here. This is what is called treatment and what is called Islam. That the temptation of guna, if you control yourself. And the more greater, many people, young people usually write, they say we've got great desire for guna. We can't control ourselves. The greater your desire for guna, and the more you control it, the more greater wali of Allah. And if you don't have any desire, so you don't, your car, you've got to accelerate, your car won't move also. Your car will only move when you've got to accelerate. But whenever wrong things come, press the brakes. And make sure in this zamana you got extra power to this. Right? The patients are so much all around that you must have your brakes ready all the time so that you save yourself from haram. So this is what Allah Ta'ala. See, for example, for our body, we eat not only 5 times a day, not 3, not 5, even more. Before Fajr we want a cup of tea. After Fajr we want a cup of tea. Breakfast we want, 10 o'clock tea we want, lunch we want, 4 o'clock tea we want, supper we want, nightcap we want. So we have so many. So our ibadat for the ruh, we also need it. We need the spiritual 5 times a month. Try and make some nafil namazes, bechash, shirah, awwabin, tahajjud, etc., salatul istikhara, salatul tawbah, whatever it matches, make tilawat of Quran Sharif. When we have a meal, it's not just one course meal. You have starters. Then you have some papar also on this side, and papri also. And then you have some achar also. Then you have got some chutney also. And then after that you have some dessert also. Then tea also. So may God only make a faras. Many people commonly in the world it has become. Juma as soon as Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah second salam, half the people are out of the masjid. No, have your dessert also, have your tea also, make your sunnat and muakkada. If you don't make nothing, but make your sunnat and muakkada. Yes. And that 2 minutes not going to, nothing else will be going to happen. But fulfill. After asr it has becoming common. As soon as we have imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, half the people are gone out. No, read our tasbihat al-fatim. Give little time. It comes in the hadith, Allahu Akbar. Remember this, that after your namaz, if you sit in your place, for as long as you sit, farishtas are making dua. Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, have mercy on you. Allahumma aghfirhu. Oh Allah, forgive him. And they making dua for you. So try and sit little while, even if you can't sit longer, but sit little while. Before namaz, try and come. And as long as you are sitting, farishtas are making. After namaz, farishtas are making dua for you. So we have all the side dishes. So for our deen also we must have. And then see if a person eats health food. And very conscious, health conscious, exercise, lifestyle is correct, he's physically fit, he does everything. But he still gets sick. He still gets a cold, he still gets a flu, he still gets some heart problem, he still gets a sugar problem. All this happens to everyone. So even if you're making our 5 times namaz, listen to this properly. We are making our 5 times namaz, we're making our tilawat, our zikr, but spiritual diseases still come. The one common disease that comes to a person who is pious like this, and in fact you are more in deen, you are a maulana, you are teaching, you are an imam, you are in jamaat work, you are giving year every year, 6 months, you are giving 4 years, you are in the khanqa, the more shaitan will come to you, pride will come to you, holier than thou attitude. I do so much. That the shaitan will put their thought. And where pride comes in a person, Allahu Akbar, it comes in a hadith, that a person who has one aota of pride, forget entering Jannah, you won't get the fragrance, the smell of Jannah. And the fragrance of Jannah will go through a journey of 500 years out of Jannah. You won't even come 2 years. Just by having one pride. So by becoming pious is good, which Maulana Thani Rahmatullah explained so beautiful. Nek banna faraz hai. To become pious is faraz. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram. And to think I am nek, that is haram. To become nek is faraz. But to think I am nek, that is haram. And just easily we can understand, you take a ball, tennis ball, anything, you throw it up in the air. With how much power you threw it out, the weight of the ball is going up, up, up. But at a certain point, it stops. Does it stay there? It comes down faster than what it went down. So as soon as we think, I'm pious now, I'm good, I'm better than others, you have stopped. And you don't stay there on top. A person who feels he does not need tazkiya and islah to purify his soul. I am a farishta. I'm a bana banaya wahu. I make, no matter who you are, even if you are a sheikh of 10,000, 50,000 murid, and you think I'm made now, you will fall immediately. Wo khud salih kya wo muslih kya rahega, khud salih nahi rahega. Forget he correcting other people, he himself won't be made also.
So why would you track that? Wo mustaqil.
You have to ask the mustaqil bizat samajhta hai.
Somebody feels, I don't need anyone to guide me. I am all right. I know. Even if you're a big Shaykhul Hadith, a big Mufti, great, great people, they always kept somebody
shadr.
A person who feels that I am all right, I don't need anyone. Woh mustaqil bad zaat. That person is a terrible, rotten person completely. One person was some village people wrote to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah. They say there is one person here, you have me Abdal Buddha, you have become Abdal, a big Kutub host, big Buzur, very great of the highest levels, etc. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote back, you khud apne aap ko Abdal kehta hai. A person who claims himself, I am Abdal. Woh pehle ghosh tha, Abdal ban gaya. He was first Greek, he was some hell. Up to Dal ban gaya, he finishes, he lowers himself. So any person who thinks I am somebody and expects people to praise me, Hazrat and so, and Hazrat Paulana, and all praises, that person would put Dal ban gaya. He might have need something, but now he's on Dal. So these spiritual diseases come in that person. For example, if we don't remedy ourselves, without exaggeration, I don't like to say it, but it's my farz to say it. Today, as far as Tawheed, oneness of Allah, we who come to the masjid, many of us have got weakness. A great, great Buzur, Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Buzur Rahmatullah Ali says, he makes us dua, Mujhe maut na aaye, I must not die, Mujhe maut na aaye, jab tak ke raaz Tawheed se main aaga na. Until I understand Tawheed, to understand the oneness of Allah. Like today, how many of us, good people, without matriq, no rosy. Without, for the girls, if you don't put yourself on Twitter, where will you get married? If you don't put yourself, you don't put your profile on Facebook, you won't get married. Allah will see to you. You don't need your name on Facebook and your pictures. Good people, I get to meet them. But sometimes people tell us, we went on Facebook of this person, and we are shocked what pictures he has put. Girls, what pictures they have put on them. And like that, they are in burqa. But on Twitter, on Facebook, how they advertise themselves. So our tawheed is gone very, very weak. So and without tawheed, we said it's a very critical. Maulana Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to give this beautiful example that you have got a parrot and you have taught it beautiful words. We were here in Katima, they had a parrot also. So I asked the person, does your parrot speak? He says, yes. I asked, what? He said, make salam in there, but mostly what the auntie shouts to the children, he teach that all the time. He said, hey, Samad, you never do that. Samad, you never do that, shouting all the time. So anyway, your parrot can give azan also. It can make salam also. Many things your parrot can do. But one day the parrot comes out of the cage in the clutches of the dog or the cat. And they want to eat it now. It will forget its salam, it will forget its kalam, it will forget its azan. Now its original voice which is fixed in its heart, te, 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 that will come out. So just like that, we can read Quran beautifully. We can give beautiful bayan, but if it's not in the heart, that at the time of maut, when malakul maut will come, then not what all bayans used to give, beautiful azans we used to give, beautiful Quran we were reading, beautiful bayans we are giving, that's not going to come out. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in the heart will be taken out. The black box will come out. And if that black box is a black box, big cry. If it's a white box with iman and amal, you are successful. So don't bluff ourselves that I'm Muslim. And also one thing which I commonly mention, don't be fooled by your outside appearance, topi, beard, kurta, I'm a Muslim. Don't be fooled by your titles, Hafiz, Maulana, Hajiza, Mughalli, Da'i. Don't be fooled by those titles. Consider what is in the heart. That is what is going to be found by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah's decisions in this world, how many, 2 billion Muslims, 3 billion Muslims, but what's the condition of the Muslims? We are out, but we are picture Muslims. Hey, one is, a little children, they go to school, pre-primary, they give them pictures to draw. I'm just giving examples. So they give the little children a picture of a lion, colour it, you must colour the lion. The child does it. Now the child is a child, he takes a knife and he gouges out the eye of the lion. And he says, yeah, how brave I am. Lion can't do me anything. It's a paper lion. What can the paper lion? He takes a scissor and he cuts the tail of the lion. What can the lion? Lion can't do me anything.
And then you go to the zoo, there is a living lion,
but he's in a cage. There is written also, don't interfere, don't throw stones, etc. But small children, they take a stick, they push it by the lion. They take a stone and throw, I'm great, the lion is right here, see, I can do this. But go to the jungle and interfere with the lion.
Today, unfortunately, most of us are prey for those things.
That's why the enemies of Islam, who got no value. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid said, me alone, I'm alone, enough for 200,000 of the Roman Empire, their army. One man enough. But today we are 2 billion. The most people following a religion are Muslims. It's the first time Maulana Ilyas in Rahmatullah in his time showed Muslims are the majority in the world, but these people covered it up. But now they can't even cover it up anymore, they have to admit. The fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. Muslims are the biggest number following any religion in the world. But we are like, unfortunately, pay for Muslims. Very few are loving Muslims, but in the place. Today, which Muslim is there that can go for Hajj without his photo taking? Photo taking is haram. The ulama have given permission that for passport, for visa, you can take photo, but make tawbah istighfar. Don't think it's permission. It's majbool. You can't help it, but make tawbah and istighfar. How many of us make, how many ulama have said if you have to take a photo for your passport, visa, don't smile, etc., don't dress up. How many women, good pious women who are in burqa, but they dress up and they hairstyle and they take their photo. Where can this be just? So anyway, who can go for Hajj today? Who can go for Jamaat today? Who can go and meet his sheikh without his photo being taken? If you are a loving Muslim also, but you're in a cage. We are compelled that we are under the kuffar. They control our life.
If there is one Muslim that will come in the world, like the
lion in the jungle, one Khalid ibn Walid can come today, one Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu,
we will change the surface of it. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullahi alayhi, one ijtima said, my object is to produce 313 people like those people. Until today I haven't got one person. This is what we have to develop. Not only namaz. Namaz is good, but faras, we have to do it. Not only roza, zakat, hajj, that is all faras. But these insights have to be marked. For example, also if we are making whole life our ibadah, namaz, roza, zakat, everything we are doing, but no sincerity. We are doing it for name and fame. We've got hidden agendas. We got our own system. We work like a mafia system. And we got our own system. And outwardly we are making namaz, we are keeping roza, we are doing deen's work, running madrasa, doing jamaat work, doing khanqa work, going hajj, umrah every year. But we haven't got ikhlas. We are not doing it for Allah. We're doing it for our own gharas and our own objectives. That is all zero. Without ikhlas, amal are not only zero, but they are negative. And 0 plus 0 equals 0. 100 zeros plus equals 0. You have one Allah in front. You did it, your iman is correct, which is the most important. Your ikhlas is correct. Then now put 0, 10. Another 0, 100. Another 0, 1000. Another 0, 10,000. 100,000. Million. How many of us, our anger is out of control? At home, how we treat the wife. Whatever we want to, we just blurt out. Anger is completely out of control. With our workers, with our friends, our sathis, our anger overtakes us. We have become slaves of our anger. Ara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawahu. Have you seen that stupid idiot who has made his desires and his lust his God? We just follow our desires, the dictates and the wants of our nafs. I feel like becoming angry. I don't see who's it. Have I got the right to be angry? Maulana Abdul Ghani Kulpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. One time a young boy, who was not his murid, but just lived there, ordinary young boy in the villages, and they have so much respect for the ulama in that. Maulana just shouted to him about something. It worked on Maulana's conscience. After Maghrib, he lived in a small village far from where Maulana went walking, looking. And Maulana told him, please make me ma. If you are my murid, my student, I still got a right to shout to Sharia has given. For your murid, your student, you can correct him, shout him. But you're not my murid also, I have no right. He said, Maulana, you are our big people, you are our big, big Maulana. What you say is still uncouple, we got no objection. How? But just say how conscious they were. And we, what we blurt out to the wife, to our friends, to our sathis, how we speak.
no conscience.
So we are not worried about our Islam.
This is what is called Islam in Tazkiyah, that we become a human being. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if you want to become a buzur, you go to some other khanqah. But if you want to become a human being, you come to my khanqah. I will make you a good human being, that your akhlaq will be correct.
One time, one Khalifa of Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali
was in a hospital in Bombay. So the doctors wanted to operate. So he told, first let me get permission from my spiritual doctor. He said, who's the spiritual doctor? We are your doctors, we are treating you. Who is the spiritual doctor? So he said, he found a good opportunity. Get all the doctors of the hospital together, and I will explain to you who is the spiritual doctor. They got all the doctors together. Then he, I told them, see, regularly the people taking our blood, checking sugar level, how the kidney function, thyroid function, heart function, this, you're doing a cholesterol test, you are doing all the different tests, isn't that so? They said, yes. Tell me, with your test, can you tell me how much anger I got in me? With your test, can you tell me how much pride I got in me? With your test, can you tell me how lot of I'm doing things for name and fame? They say, that you can't. They say, that is spiritual doctors. So we all need, even if we are making five times namaz, even if you are a big maulana and you are a big haji sahab, whoever you are, we need the spiritual treatment and so on. And just like a person reaches 40, I must go for a checkup. I must check my heart. Anything can happen. I've reached 40. So the same way, when you become baligh, you must be conscious of your spiritual condition. If we die with riya and show, what will happen? If we die with anger, what will happen? If we die with pride, what will happen? And we're not even thinking about these things. It's very, very important that we give thought to these things also. That we might be, I think I'm pious, I'm making five times a month. I'm pious, I'm a maulana, I'm running a big darul uloom. No, no, those are not the things. Allah is not going to ask whether you are running darul uloom, whether you're going 40 days every day in jamaat, whether you're doing your 4 months. Allah, the first question, mar rabbuka. That iman and that unity, oneness, that the tawheed of Allah will be first. Ma deenuka. What was your lifestyle? Will you be living as a Muslim? Eh? Even your five times namaz. I just don't want to go too long, but I'll just, there's one hadith in Mishkat Sharif. That Islam, in one hadith, it says, is namaz, roza, zakat, and hajj. In another hadith in Mishkat Sharif, that namaz will intercede for a person who has made five times namaz. Namaz will say, Ya Allah, I'm namaz. This person used to perform namaz five times a day. Please forgive him, let him enter in Jannah. Allah will say, namaz, you are very good. You are my commander. But by you, I can't still accept your intercession. Rosa will say, Hajj, then Islam will come. Islam, that you, from head to toe, you live like a Muslim. From morning to night, you are like a Muslim. Allah will say, yes, yes, Islam, you are like. Because of you now, I will accept this namaz. I will accept. So we have to see whether we got Islam, we got namaz in our life. But are we, appear, do we appear like Muslims? Look at our children, how they are dressed. Hey, I usually say that a baby, two-week-old baby, for example, if the parents have to put a kurta on their child, the good people of the house, old people, the maulanas also will say, Amrithi neek banane ko kurta Amrithi mein rao. You put a kurta from now, but you put a shirt, a t-shirt and pants, nobody will say, from now you make him like a Jew, from now you make him like a Christian. The girl, if you put a burqa on her, she's a one week old little child. And you put a burqa. Amrithi dohi jevi banane rakhi. Amrithi kyu lage? Kyu banane rakhi? But if you put a, if you put all of your Jewish clothes, Christian clothes, nobody got a problem. So this is also a very, so this Islah is very important. For that I usually make a few tashkils. One tashkil that I make, alhamdulillah, there are maktabs running here. That is the most important backbone of the ummah, the maktab. And it is running, but it's not enough. We need many more. And we need them to run, not only to impart education, but to impart values. Qualities must come in. The child must not only know namaz is first, the child must read namaz. The child must not only read Quran Sharif correctly, the child must daily read namaz. And that will happen if we make him namaz in the house. If we are reading Quran in the house, so that is one. Second, please try and make your children alims, make your daughters alimas, make them happy. This is very, very, if you understand, deen is not our society, it's not our community, deen is not our culture, deen is Quran and Hadith. And till we don't understand Quran which Allah has revealed, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Hadith which has been preserved and brought to us, we won't get a proper understanding of deen. We'll have an Indian type of deen. Egyptians will have an Egyptian type of deen. Saudis will have a Saudi deen. Everyone will have their own deen. For the proper deen from Quran and Hadith. And the way to that is to make them hafiz and to make them alims. The third thing is the work of tabligh and da'wah. It's a great blessing Allah has given us. Lives of people are changing in the world. And so try and take part. Just now we make the shkil also, whether it is our daily ta'aleem, that nobody should have an excuse. Ta'aleem in the masjid, ta'aleem at home. Our gush once a week. If we can't make gush, don't stop somebody else. But try, what is it difficult? At least the local gush. How gush we do. Try and give our 3 days, try and give our 40 days, our 4 months, bring this lifestyle into us. And after that, inshallah, we take names just now. Also make your contact with some Allah wala, who your heart says, this is an Allah wala. This is absolutely essential. For to get the finer parts of deen and complete deen, you need this. One great buzur, Ali asked Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah Ali, what's your purpose of doing this work? It was a new work. People didn't know the work of the book. It was something new. Maulana said, be talabo mein mehnat karke. People work, no talab for them. They don't want to make namaz. They're not interested in Islam. They're not interested in Islamic lifestyle. To make effort in them, or talab paida karke unko ulama ke saath jodna. To join them with the ulama, taki wo apne deen ko seekh. First you got no desire for water. When you got desire for water, they look for pure, clean water. Don't just drink any dirty water. Now look for the ulama so our deen can be made. Or sulaha ke saath, mashayikh ke saath inko jodna, taki wo apne islah kare. And that the islah can be done. The true tawheed, in Jamaat we go, we speak about tawheed, oneness of Allah. But there is much more detail. That is not the level and the end of it. That's the start of it. Don't stop at the starting point. To reach to the end point, we have to go. Namaz, the person wasn't making namaz. He went in Jamaat. Jamaat went, they encouraged him. MashaAllah, he's making 5 times namaz. But now, Walana Thani rahmatullah alayh, went on his safar, are we making safar? He also used to make safar. So he went to one village, one old lady wasn't making namaz. So he encouraged her, made bayan, etc. And he taught her how to make, she didn't know how to make namaz, he taught her how to make wudu also. After 1 year, again Maulana went to that town. He said, Bari bhi, old lady, namaz to par rakha, wudu bhi karte ho, wahi wudu jo tumne seekha. That wudu you made me make with that wudu I'm making whole year namaz. So people, don't stay at one level. We learn, carry on, try and get. For dunya, we want our garden perfect. We want our car perfect. We want our house perfect. Why don't we want our deen to be perfect? And if we make our deen perfect, Allah will make everything else perfect. You understood, inshallah? If not, we have another 1 hour there. Right? So who is ready, inshallah? Inshallah, give your names for 4 months. 40 days, inshallah, our brother will explain the details. And also one thing very important, we hear now, many countries, visas become the problems, etc. It's not the governments, it's not that, it's our actions. Make other of the jamaats that are coming, make nusrat, Allah will open more doors. If we don't appreciate, we don't make nusrat, Allah isn't what we need. We need Allah, Allah doesn't need us. Jamaat, Allah is coming to us. They're coming to us, make their nusrat, and they don't want food and drink. That is also the thing. So the main thing is the purpose, the object they are coming for. Join them for that. Allah will open more doors, and more jamaats will come, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh Allah, let us understand the value of sunnah. Oh Allah, let us live our lives according to sunnah. Let us not just take it as a formality to speak.
instant to listen to it. But let us realize the importance and the necessity. Allah, color us with the color of sunnah. Let us live our lives properly according to sunnah. Allah, let us become conscious that we have to make our islah, our tazkiyah. Allah, you have to say it so many places in the Quran. And here in this place in the Quran, with so many qasams you have said this subject. Oh Allah, let us realize the value of your talk. Let us realize who you are, and you are speaking to us, and you are taking so many efforts to convince us. Let us not let it not just pass lightly over our heads. Oh Allah, let it go into our hearts, oh Allah. Open the deaf ears of our hearts. Open the blind eyes of our hearts. Let us not be fooled by this dunya, by the temptation, the glitter and glamour. Shaitan and nafs are working overtime to deceive us in hidayah. You have sent your Quran, you have sent your Rasul, you have sent great, great ulama, you have sent the great efforts of me, oh Allah, you have opened the doors of the Tabligh and Dawah. You have sent great ulama and mashayikh, oh Allah, but we pay scant heed to all this. Our dunya is very important to us. Let us realize. Our real life is the life of the akhirah. This dunya is a fleeting world. It is yesterday, tomorrow it is gone. How many we know what they possess? They are lying empty-handed in their grave. And for how long are they in their grave? Let us take lessons from the people who have passed away. Let us go to the Qabristan and take lessons from the people who are there lying now in the qabr and who are helpless. And if they could speak, they would say that we would make namazes. Please send us the rewards of ibadah. They don't want our dollars. They don't want our food. They don't want our luxury home. What they want is amal. While we are here, let us realize this. Let us make our own amal. And let us think of our marhumeen, our parents, our family. And oh Allah, let us send sawabs to them also. Oh Allah, accept us all for your deen. And make deen the primary thing in our lives, oh Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.